Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
So, you've got a new album out, Lost Domain, and the devastating loss of a dearly loved parent is a monumental subject. So why did you release an album about it?
Well, I guess my response to, you know, his illness, he had Alzheimer's, and it was very confusing because, you know, he's a very strong and intelligent guy, and to sort of see him go through this, you know, the really struggling was, I guess it was, you know, had a profound effect on me, and I started writing songs about it, and yeah, it's very, you know, it's kind of confusing to see someone like that. So I think it was my way of trying to understand it. And then, but I think the subject matter inspired me, you know, creatively as well, and to push myself in some quite different ways. And I found I was writing the kind of songs I'd never quite written before, or there was something, you know, kind of tender to it. And so I sort of started to take shape as an album.
As a musician, it was almost a bit like therapeutic to put, you know, the album is an outpouring of your emotions. It's like an outlet for you.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's very powerful tool if you're going through a hard time, to be able to write down things down. And if you're, you know, if you're musical or if you're a writer or anything, I think, you know, this stuff in your subconscious will come to the surface. And, but yeah, it really helped me. And I guess your music does have a very healing power too.
But you said that the track Medicine was a very hard song to write.
Yeah. It was difficult because I wrote it after going and seeing him one day in a dementia ward, and a lot of it just poured out. I just let my tape recorder run, and I was just sort of reeling off the stuff I was seeing. But I didn't revisit it for like maybe another year and a half, and it was quite hard sort of going back there, trying to sort of get back into the dementia ward and back to that situation. And yeah, it took me about 3 days of just being in my apartment in New York by myself, just pouring over it. And it was very hard, but I think I ended up with quite an uplifting piece of music, oddly enough.
And it also features a bit of your dad's music in there, I understand.
Yeah. They had a piano in the dementia ward, and I took him down to sit beside it, you know, and he couldn't really, he'd been a great piano player, untrained, but he could play anything, you know, any kind of tune. He was great at parties and things like that. So when he was in the ward, it took him down to it, and we'd sit there, but he couldn't really play a song anymore. So I used to just hold the sustain pedal down, and we would just like play kind of any notes, and it made this kind of really nice ambient sound, and we were connecting through music. And one of those days I recorded it, and then I was actually singing about it in the song, and I was like, I remembered that I had this recording, so it kind of slotted in really nicely. It was like a little bit of sparse random piano notes, but I think it is quite moving.
And the album runs through a whole gamut of emotions. You know, there's this heartbreaking warmth of holding someone perhaps for the last time. You mentioned guilt in one song and feeling like a ghost. And then the title track, Lost Domain, is this bombastic explosion of feeling alive again.
Yeah.
And interestingly, you end the album with the line, I've got to go. So is there a chronology of emotions going on here?
Yeah, there actually is. And yeah, I did change the sequence. Really, the album is chronological, except for the last song, the last two songs. But I wanted to sort of, it sort of felt better to end on a sort of slightly poignant note. It makes it kind of reflective of the whole journey. The kind of last verse of the record says, I think about my father and all that I've lost there, away, 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 to chase the last light of a day. And I guess it's sort of, there's something about in that song is reflecting on the whole thing. So it felt nice to sort of move that out of sequence and end the record with that.
And what do you want the listener to get out of this album?
I guess I hope they find it uplifting, and, you know, it is, you know, sad. Like my fear was that it would be harrowing, because it was, you know, in the way that it was a harrowing time for me. But I think people have been saying it's been very uplifting, and also, you know, I'm very proud of the music. I think it's quite beautiful at times. And I was particularly worried about what my mum would say, and then I left it with her, and she told me it was beautiful. So I was like, okay, it's all good.
Yeah, you have your mother's approval.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a very, very beautiful album. You know, it's, you know, as I said, you know, this whole gamut of emotions, and it's so raw, but so delicate at times, you know, and it's a beautiful, you know, change of tempos and rhythms, and, you know, some songs really luscious and others, you know, and there's obviously, you open up with this instrumental kind of gently leads the listener in.
Yeah.
So, it's a beautiful album.
Thank you so much.
What else have you got in the pipeline then?
Well, kind of halfway through a new Ash record, which is a whole different, you know, it's going to be a very different thing. And we're trying to really return to our early three-piece sound. So it's going to be a real rocking record. I sort of, you know, the solo record is getting to exercise my real love of keyboards and pianos and strings. And the Ash record is going to be purely like raging guitars. So I'm looking forward to getting back to New York to work on it soon.
Oh, great. So have you got any songs in the can already and an album release date and everything?
No release date, but we do have like 13 songs in various stages of completion, and I'm looking forward to going back and writing some more now this record has come out, and, you know, sort of actually releasing it and playing it live is kind of sort of the final part of a journey, I think, that I needed to go through, and it's felt really good. It's been, you know, quite a transformative time.
And when you've like reformed, you know, with Ash, I mean, is like going back to the old days, or is it like Ash Mark II?
It's the original, you know, core bands, the same guys. We started the band when we were 15, so we've been playing 22 years now, and but, you know, we've been active non-stop really, and I sort of made this record in between a lot of Ash touring, and this year we did some quite fun stuff, like we did the Weezer cruise, which was going around the Caribbean with about 10 other rock bands.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It was good.
Has the album got a title yet?
No, not yet. There's some... Oh, I don't want to give away anything yet in case it doesn't make it.
Oh, okay.
But I normally, album titles always come quite late for me, but I'm hoping for some inspiration.
And just to go back to the beginning, I mean, you mentioned obviously Ash, and you were, you know, you met at 15. I mean, it must have been, you know, an eye opener for a teenager to be thrust into this music world, which can be quite, you know, cutthroat. You know, there's some very commercial elements to the music world, of course. You know, how did you take it as a teenager, it being in that world at the time?
Oh, it was very exciting, and I guess there was a lot of, you know, different things going on. Like, I loved the shows and the attention, and but then also I struggled with some sides of fame. You know, I could be quite shy sometimes, or I didn't like when we were in like teenage girl magazines as like pinups or that kind of stuff, because I was like, you know, my favorite bands were like Nirvana and stuff like that. That's, you know, how I wanted to be, you know, taken seriously for the music side of things. So I sort of, some stuff that people would think that you wouldn't want to complain about, you know, I wasn't that happy with. It was interesting. It was exciting. Got to see the world at a very young age, which was brilliant.
And how
I made
you...
a lot of heroes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And how did you get discovered?
We had a friend who wrote fanzines. And I think it was basically his way of trying to get like free CDs out of press agencies in London. And, you know, he was quite successful at that. And he knew he would sort of write a lot to Bad Moon, which was Nirvana's press agency. And there was a guy there called Paddy who, my friend Bill, who wrote these fanzines, sent him a demo tape. And he knew a guy who was starting a label. And without ever having seen us live, this guy just sent us 300 quid to go and record a single.
Wow.
And yeah, he became our manager, he got us a record deal, we were starting to get played on radio, and I don't know, it just all that kind of snowballed. We'd sort of come over and like play shows whenever we were, you know, had time off school. So at one point our manager had to come and ask our headmaster if we could take 2 weeks off school, because we got this tour with Elastica, who were really blowing up at the time. So yeah, it was all mad. I do stuff like we get flown to LA in half term, or to like meet, you'd be wined and dined by record labels, and it was, you know, very exciting.
It's sounds fantastic. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tim. It's been a pleasure talking
Cheers.
To you.